Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you've caught up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. We're taping this Thursday, December 12th, 12-12. No college podcast this week. Obviously, only one game with Army-Navy this weekend, and there is a huge run on first-half unders, I believe. So just blindly bet the first-half under. You'll thank me later. I forget how many years in a row it is, but it's usually rewarding. And we have the NFL card to get to with Mr. Director and Mike Clay at the back end for some prop bets. Travis, how do you feel about your Buckeyes in the college football playoff? Take care of business. Didn't cover, but got the comeback win in the Big Ten championship game.
Listen, you got the Big Ten championship. We're in. I could argue with the rankings, but whatever. You go out there and you have to prove yourself. And getting a little revenge on Clemson from 16 would be nice. So, you know, let's see what happens.
So you were disappointed with the drop from the one spot. Do you understand it at least?
So if you tell me that you think LSU's number one, I'm not going to argue that.
Right.
It was some of the things that the committee does, but they kind of, in my opinion, just throw darts at the wall.
See, I just think it's fluid, and I like that. I've always said that about week one. Like, early in the season, people are like, why even bother with preseason rankings? Well, I like it, but I just think you shouldn't be afraid to take a team that's like sixth that gets blown out and just unrank them. Like, I think everything should be fluid week to week, especially the end of the season. I'm okay with it, although it is a little weird to drop a team. But I just...
Also, when you played a team a second time, granted, we just crapped the bed in the first half, but 27 on answer in the second half, almost covered, too.
I know. I thought they were going to when I was monitoring the game on my
What
box
was the score. Second half line?
I don't know. I missed all the night games. I was at an event. So, but I mean, LSU did beat the committee's fourth-ranked team in the country and killed them.
And injured Georgia, but whatever. We're in the playoffs, so.
Yes, you are. But I'd be disappointed, too. I'd much rather face Oklahoma than another team like Clemson.
Agree.
Okay, we'll talk a little college football with Mr. Director, but we're going to do a different podcast schedule, obviously, with all the bowl games. So we are going to do a pod, Travis, next Wednesday.
Yep.
And then after Christmas. So
yeah, we'll have another one out to get people ready for
national championship
game. Semifinal games.
Right. So we'll do next Wednesday like we normally do, and then bowl games all throughout, and then we'll do after Christmas. Right before the national semifinal games and a couple other bowl games as well, New Year's and all that.
Yep.
So that'll be like the beefy games. But all tickets cash the same. So we'll do another pod next week just for like the appetizers, if you will.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's get to this one.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
We saw that big time in the Pac-12 championship game as we bring in Mr. Executive Director John Murray. How about that by Kyle Whittingham?
It's one of the worst punts of the year. You know, they were down by 8. So you can't even really look at it as a one-possession game. I did another show where I called it like a one-and-a-half-possession game. It's not guaranteed you're going to get the two-point conversion.
Well, it's very simple. With 8 minutes to go, right? Well. 8 minutes to go, 10 minutes? So in a 7-point game, given how their defense have been playing, you can justify it. However, to your point, when it's an 8-point game, when you do that, you're that confident in a 2-point conversion, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much? How
basically many, saying you have to get the 2-point conversion.
Right. What's the distance of a 2-point conversion, Murray?
2 yards, 2.5 yards.
2.5 yards. What was the down and distance?
I think it was like fourth and two?
I think it was three.
Oh, because I think I blacked out after he sent on the punt team.
So it's basically the same situation.
I know 2-point conversion. I know 2-point conversion is from the 2.5. I don't remember the exact down and distance, but it was unbelievable. And then Oregon, of course, scored a touchdown like, what, 3 or 4 plays later? And then the game's over, and that's that. And I said, you know, after the game, I thought the final score was a little bit misleading. I think it was a little closer than the score indicated because they just didn't get – they weren't picking up those fourth downs, and I think that's the reason he punted was because he'd already failed on a couple other fourth and shorts.
Right.
But that's the kind of results-oriented thinking you've got to avoid. You can't look at it like that. You can't say, oh, we didn't get this fourth down, so we better punt the ball away. You just got to keep making the right decisions over and over again and assume that eventually it'll go your way.
I agree. And it is what it is, and Utah is not in the college football playoff. We have them set. We saw some line movement on Sunday. Anything of note before we'll do a college football playoff pod next week and get into some of the bowl games, but anything quickly of note before we get into the NFL?
Not really. I mean, we've mostly just been moving with the market on those two games. Right now we've got LSU minus 13 and Clemson minus 2.5. Very one-sided action in both games. Everybody's on LSU. Everybody's on Clemson. You know, I wouldn't even be surprised, actually, if Clemson closed higher than 2.5, especially if LSU covers the Peach Bowl and all those parlays are running to Clemson in the late game. That wouldn't surprise me at all if we got higher.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everybody bet Clemson in this game 3 years ago. Everybody bet Clemson in that game.
I was one of them.
They rolled Ohio State. We got crushed on that game.
I mean, I want to believe Ohio State's the outlier of the Big Ten, but I'm planning to fade the Big Ten pretty hard this year.
Well, Clemson, you know, I'm watching them play Virginia on Saturday night, and it just seems like every one of their skill guys is an NFL player. Lawrence is an NFL player. Ross, Higgins, Etienne, those guys are all going to be playing on Sundays. And then they bring in the reserves at the end of the game, and those guys are all going to be NFL players eventually too. Clemson is just loaded beyond belief.
It is fascinating because obviously you have this Clemson team that is just trucking everyone, right, in this weak conference. But, like, how loaded is the Big Ten, right? Like, how loaded is it's like I'm joking using the word loaded. Like,
yeah.
Obviously they looked great against, you know, they trucked Rutgers and some of the bad teams. And then they did really well against some of the mediocre to good teams, right? Wisconsin, Michigan. But how Iowa, how good are those teams? Not Iowa, they didn't play Iowa, but how good are those teams?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not like the Big Ten's not the SEC.
You right,
know?
That's my
point. We don't know for sure how good those teams really are. And I actually think the ACC might be a little better than people realize it is. I think Clemson is just that much better than everybody else. But certainly this was a down year for a lot of the traditional ACC powers, Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech probably down a little bit this year. So the conference was definitely down. But look, all Clemson can do is play who's on their schedule. They've blown out everybody since the North Carolina game, and everybody's talking about the ACC. Well, let's go back to college football playoff last year. They blew out Alabama in the title game. They blew out Notre Dame in the semifinal game. They just blow out everybody they play, no matter what conference they come from.
Yeah, so my early leans, if you will, are on both favorites. I think I'd lean LSU just in four quarters. I think they pull away, but I don't think their defense is that strong. I think Oklahoma will get some, but it's just I think Oklahoma has to play like almost a flawless game to cover. They're not going to win.
Yeah, you know the LSU defense. I said going into the Georgia game, I thought they were a little bit vulnerable. I didn't know that every player on Georgia was going to get hurt in the SEC championship game at the time I said that. I do think LSU, you can expose their defense. We saw Texas move the ball up and down the field against Oklahoma's defense. Now, that game was back in September.
And Florida.
You got to think that Jalen Hurts and the Oklahoma offense is going to be able to have some success in that game and maybe keep them close. And if that number got all the way up to 14, it'd be hard to not recommend a play on Oklahoma at that line. I mean, that point spread is already really inflated. And if it keeps pushing up, there could be some pretty good value on the Sooners.
Okay, so let's table that. I'm with you on a lot of that, but we'll see, man. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with the lines, and obviously as more information surfaces, just, you know, we'll see. We'll see if LSU loses their defensive coordinator. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here, but let's get to the NFL.
Sounds to me like you guys a couple of bookies.
Okay. All right, we got a game tonight. I'm surprised this line's gone up. I know that it's the Baltimore Ravens. I know it's Lamar Jackson. But 16.5 against a Jets team that's won 4 of 5?
Well, I think it's mostly because of all the guys on the injury report for the Jets. I mean, look at all the names of guys that are not going to play for New York tonight. Quinnen Williams is listed as doubtful. Jamal Adams is listed as doubtful. And then obviously you've got some other guys like C.J. Mosley, Tremaine Johnson. Those guys have been out. Demaryius Thomas listed right now is doubtful. Just so many guys on the Jets are not playing in this game. The Ravens, we actually had a sharp group laid 15.5 with Baltimore yesterday, pushed us up to 16.5. The thing that would concern me a little bit, though, if I was going to lay this big number on Baltimore is if they get out to a, let's just say they get out to a 3-touchdown lead, you know, Lamar Jackson's got that quad injury that's been bothering him. If you're Baltimore, wouldn't you take Lamar Jackson out of the game at that point?
Well, that's what I was going to say when you mentioned all the Jets injuries. Let's not sleep on Lamar Jackson's injuries. So it is a kind of a it's a big line for a total that's not that high. 45, I mean.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. It's a big number. And look, I wouldn't
30.5, that kind of thing, that kind of like team total-ish.
I won't be shocked if a 17 pops up later today because this group that laid 15.5, the market always seems to move in their direction. And I think all the books are going to be pretty overloaded with the Ravens tonight. We're pretty overloaded to the Ravens. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw some 17s pop up.
Interesting.
I'm not going to get involved in this one personally. That's just too many points to lay. But I also have no interest in betting on the Jets with half their team on the IR.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. I mean, I'm not afraid to lay points, but that's a lot of points.
I don't think you're afraid of anything when it comes to gambling, man. Like I don't, you're fearless, Doug.
Whoa, such.
What are you afraid of in the gambling space? I say nothing.
I'm afraid of you, Murray. I'm afraid of the baby bankroll bonanza. I was making my move, but that prop bet cost me. That stung a little bit. So that's too bad.
I didn't have a good week in the NFL. You know, we gave Brent New England -3 this past week, and that play certainly didn't. You know, there were some. I'm sure we'll talk about that game. There's some tough calls I thought went against the Patriots. I'll never understand the NFL. I mean, they stop to review every little thing, and then that Nikhil Harry should have been a touchdown. They don't review that.
Well, they couldn't because they were out of challenges, right?
Is that what it was?
Right. I mean, so they were out of challenges. But the thing is, why not let it go a touchdown? Because you didn't see him step out of bounds. The referees were blocked. So why did you call him out of bounds? You have to allow. If you don't see something, you can't call it.
I don't know what the hell they're doing.
But I thought of you the whole game because your guy was on the call.
Oh, Boger was great. I mean, I don't know that he knows any of the rules in these games. I really don't. I think that the torch has officially been passed. I thought Gene Steratore was the worst referee in the NFL. I know he retired a couple years ago. And I think it's officially been passed to Jerome Boger. He is now the worst ref in the league. And how did he get that game? Why is he doing the Chiefs-Patriots game? Nothing the league does makes sense to me.
I'm with you, dude. That was a bad one. Let's go to Sunday.
Terrible. He did a terrible job.
Tampa Bay Bucks at the Detroit Lions. The Bucks overtrained back on the tracks. Mm-hmm. After 9 straight overs, they had an under, and then last week back to an over. So let's make it 10 of the last 11, good sir. That's a lot.
Have you ever seen a player as much fun to watch as Jameis Winston? I mean, seriously, this guy, like, is there anything that he could do that would surprise you in this game? I don't think there's any possible outcome that would be shocking to me. Like, if he threw 5 picks and they lost by 3 touchdowns, I wouldn't even bat an eye. But he could go out there and throw for 500 yards. I also wouldn't be surprised by that.
Lions are fascinating, too. They've lost 6 straight and failed to cover in 7 of their last 8. So they're a roller coaster themselves. They actually covered, technically, the Thanksgiving Day parade. But
they probably need a coaching change there.
Well, they're on their backup quarterback.
No, they're on their third-string quarterback.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, you're right. But yeah, I mean, most of the money is on Tampa in that game. I think it's interesting looking at Jameis Winston. This guy, there's a chance he might lead the NFL in touchdowns and yards and be a free agent at the end of the year. He's 25 years old. I mean, I don't know that we've ever really seen a guy as volatile as Jameis Winston in this league. But we'll need the Lions in this game. Most of the money coming in on Tampa right now, they're a 3.5-point favorite on the road.
I'm the one I was tweeting it like a month ago. This guy's a chance at the Triple Crown, like you said. Yards, mm-hmm. touchdown pass, and obviously picks. I got to look to see if that's ever been done. And be a free agent. Right.
He turns 26 in January.
I don't think they're going to let him go. I don't.
I don't think that they should. I really don't. I mean, look, you look around the league at some of these QBs, I think they'd be making a mistake to let him go. I really do. I don't think this is going to be a really high-volume game, though. You know, in these weeks where, like, I know next week they play three games on Saturday, and they kind of help break it up a little bit. But these weeks right now, there's so many games on Sundays, especially at 10 a.m. local time here, that a couple of them just kind of get swept under the rug. And I think the Bucks-Lions game will be one of those games.
Where do you think this line closes?
I think it's actually going to come down a little bit. We used three for the Super Contest, which we put out yesterday, because we think it's more likely it'll go down than up.
Fascinating story in the NFC East. First place this late in the season, under 500. Truly remarkable. Are your Redskins still alive? That's my question. I haven't quite confirmed that.
No, I think they are officially eliminated.
With the loss of Green Bay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that. Well, great, a really good season for Washington. I think they're 3-10 right now. You know, it's kind of funny. This line was actually 6 when we did the numbers on Sunday afternoon, evening, and then it went down to 4.5 when we reopened it, even though the Eagles won on Monday night. That's how bad Philadelphia played on Monday. The Eagles are just so banged up. It seems like every offensive skill position player they have is hurt right now.
That's what I was going to ask. So who's going to be playing in terms of wide receivers? Is Aguilar out?
Well, I got the injury report right here. Jeffrey's out. Aguilar's questionable. Jordan Howard's questionable. Lane Johnson is questionable. Derek Barnett, the pass rusher, is also questionable. Jalen Mills is questionable. You also got, and this isn't news, but you've also got Darren Sproles out for the year, Deshaun Jackson out for the year. I mean, these guys have been out for a while.
Right. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is their marquee guy, and then running back by committee, all things considered. I don't think Haskins is that terrible.
Dwayne, I don't know. It's a little too early to tell. Green Bay, just so unimpressed in that game on Sunday. I like the running back Washington has, Guisi or whatever his name is from LSU. He's hurt too.
Darius Geis.
He's out.
Darius Geis.
Geis, yeah, whatever his name is. That kid's good, man. He's really good. Yeah. He just can't stay healthy. He's already hurt again. He missed all of last season. He's already hurt again this season.
If Washington can block, I think they'll be okay in this game. I have to lean Skins here.
Yeah, it's going to be all Eagles fans there, though. You got to remember that. I don't know. I think it's hard to bet this game or the Dallas game. Dallas plays the Rams on Sunday afternoon because neither of the teams really need to win. No matter what those teams do this week, as long as they win the last two games, including the game against each other next week, they make the playoffs. They win the NFC East.
It's just a circus there in the NFC East. I'm done talking about that game. Let's go to a much more intriguing game. Green Bay at home at Lambeau. This line has fluctuated a little bit. 6.5 down to 4, I think it touched. Looks like the market is 4.5 with the rival Bears in town.
So we got all the way down to 4, and we had that same group that I mentioned earlier on this show laid the Ravens. They played Green Bay -4 and pushed us up to -5. And like I said earlier, usually the market moves with these guys. I mean, I'm not saying that they win every bet because they don't, because nobody does in the NFL, but the market respects their action. So it really wouldn't surprise me if this number actually went up even higher. That's why we're hanging a little bit high on it. We're at 5 right now, even though pretty much everybody else has 4.5, and there's even a couple 4s out there.
You think it goes back to 6?
I think it might, just based on the track record this group has shown during the year. A lot of games have moved their way.
More with Mr. Executive Director in a little bit, but first I want to ask you something. Is anything better than watching football? Of course there is. Watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line, especially this week. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit when you sign up with my code Doug. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at over $1 million in prizes. And be sure to check out the newest game mode, Flash Draft. Now you can draft a new team for a single quarter of a live football game. Download the DraftKings app now and use code Doug. New users enter code Doug at signup to get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's code Doug to get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, this is my favorite game of the week. This will be in the Bonanza. This is the squarest play on the board, but I don't care. New England minus 9.5 at Cincinnati. Low total, but in a big line.
Yeah, we got the Patriots minus 9.5, total of 41.5. It's about a 10-1 tick count on New England. I don't know that that's that notable, though. Nobody's going to bet the Bengals against the Patriots. So we'll need the Bengals pretty big here. But probably less than we would have needed them if the Patriots were coming in here on a roll. You know, Patriots now have lost two games in a row, but they're still going to win their division, and they're still going to get a first-round bye as long as they win out against the Bengals, Bills, and Dolphins. The Patriots are fine. Really, that loss on Sunday really doesn't impact their season that much. They weren't going to catch Baltimore for the one seed because Baltimore has the tiebreaker. Eventually, they're just going to end up with the two seed, and they're going to end up hosting Kansas City in the AFC divisional playoff round.
Brady has failed to cover three straight games. Do you know the last time they failed to cover four straight games?
Before Tom Brady?
2002, Brady and Belichick was the last time. Wow. Brady off a loss, 41-19 ATS.
Yeah, so I mean, watched a lot of that game.
It's a different team. I mean, it's a different Brady. I get it.
A different Brady, but I think I might have been a little too critical on him earlier in the year. I mean, none of his receivers are getting open. There's no running game. Look, Brady's lost his fastball. He can't throw the ball down the field anymore. He can't do it on his own anymore is what it comes down to. But his teammates aren't helping him at all.
I agree, but that's also part of the handicap here. But I think the defense, I don't think the team total of the Bengals is like 15. I don't see them getting. I know Dalton's better than Finley, but I don't think they're going to do anything. They're not going to do anything.
It's really hard to picture the Bengals having success against this New England defense. And the New England defense played well again on Sunday. I thought Mahomes looked to me like he was a little banged up.
I agree.
But they certainly looked pretty
good.
They
converted a 3rd and 19. Brady threw an interception in his own red zone. So that set up a short field for the Chiefs. They didn't do much in the second half. I think this defense, I mean, you can criticize their schedule all they want. It's top notch. So I just don't see how the Bengals get anything done. And look, there's a narrative here with the Spygate 2 stuff and all that accusation. And I think it applies. Like, there's no one better to bet on when this stuff, this noise is going on. I think they do rally around it. I really do.
As long as they can hang on here and win these last three games, they'll have a first-round bye, like I said. They'll have another home playoff game. They'll still probably get back to the AFC Championship game. I can't believe the Patriots fans booing them off the field, Doug. Are you kidding me? These guys won the Super Bowl like 10 months ago.
Weren't they booing the refs? No, I'm kidding. They were booing the team. But, look, that happens.
Unbelievable.
They're fans that only know winning. They're just spoiled as beyond belief.
They're getting a little too spoiled there in New England, in my opinion. But, I'm not going to be booing the Nationals this year. I'll tell you that much. There's no chance. I don't care what the hell they do. They just won the World Series. They can do whatever. They're good for me. I think you got to give a team, what would you say, like a 3 to 5 year grace period if they win a championship?
I usually implement 5 year moratoriums on complaining.
Five's good. I mean, and the Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls in the last 20 years. They've been to the Super Bowl 9 times. I think they've been in every AFC championship game since like 2010.
And then there's the Bengals they're facing who just don't know what success is.
Well, the Bengals you can boo. I'm okay with that.
Seattle at Carolina. It was a horrible spot for the Seahawks at the Rams, and it showed. Just giant flat spot, and the Rams were the right side from the opening of the game. They're now laying 6 at Carolina. Now, I know the Panthers have a coach fired. They've lost, 5 in a row. They've been horrible of late. Kyle Allen's come back to earth. Seattle finally loses a road game, but they've been dynamic on the road. But, you know, it's a lot of points delay.
Everybody's on Seattle here. It's about a 25-1 ticket count. I mean, everybody's on Seattle. We actually use 6.5 for the Super Contest number, even though we're dealing the game at 6, because we do expect all the money to come in on Seattle and Carolina. It might be our biggest need of the morning when we get to Sunday morning. It's either going to be Carolina or Cincinnati in all likelihood.
Ooh, so you think that may touch that may touch seven?
I don't know. It's possible. I mean, everyone's betting the Seahawks. No one's looking to bet on the Panthers after what happened on Sunday. And there's another game later down on this board. I can tell you a team nobody is looking to bet on, and I know we're going to need them huge in Sunday afternoon.
Ooh, that's a tease. That's a veteran tease out of you, Murray. Let's go to Arrowhead. Kansas City, after the win, laying 9.5. It was 10. It's now 9.5 with Denver. This is going to be my eliminator pick. I still have the Chiefs, and I'm still alive. So I'm going with the Chiefs. Need the win here. But what do you make of the action here?
You know, we'll be on different sides then, because we gave Mr. Musburger Denver +9 yesterday for our pick of the week.
That's what I would play.
It's a lot of points, and I thought Drew Locke looked very good. I said this to Matt Eumanns. I was very annoyed hearing this narrative. The Broncos finally found their quarterback. Try being a Redskins fan, not having a quarterback for 30 years. The Broncos had John Elway and Peyton Manning like a few years ago. Give me a break. I'm not happy for the Broncos fans finding their quarterback, but I will say Drew Locke looked pretty good. I don't understand why they didn't play him earlier in the year. And I think Denver's better than their record. I think they had a lot of close losses, games they could have easily won. They're probably a little bit better than people realize. And I'll tell you this, too. Mahomes doesn't look right to me. I know I said it earlier, but he looked like he was a little banged up in that game on Sunday.
Okay. I would agree with you there. I think the Patriots' defense deserves some credit for that. But you're right. He's battled,
sure.
Obviously, the
you're
knee
right.
injury sustained
right.
against Denver in the first meeting on that Thursday night, and also the ankle injury that was aggravated in a couple games. I mean, it was the Colts, and then it was the next game. I forget which order that all happened, whether it be the Titans or the Texans but in the Ravens game. I mean, he's been banged up. And to your point, he doesn't look the same. But we'll see. The guy is still a machine. And
I think he's the best player in the NFL. I just think he's a little bit banged up right now, that's all.
First quarterback ever, age 25 or younger, to beat Brady and Belichick in the regular season in Foxborough. Pretty fun stat.
I should tell you this, too. Our look-ahead number on this game was 13. So this number's already come down a lot, so maybe there isn't that much value on Denver at this adjusted point spread. I just think the Broncos are playing pretty well right now, and they're better than people realize they are, and I think Mahomes is banged up. We'll see. It's never comforting betting against Mahomes. Yeah, the guy is capable of a lot.
Yes, he is. You know who's not capable of a lot are the next two teams, the Giants hosting the Dolphins. Barn burner. Eli is back. His career record's now under 500. Miami frisky. Brian Flores, irate at the end of last game. But here's a Giants team that's lost 9 straight, and they're laying 3.5.
Well, I saw that replay. I didn't see that play live, but I think Brian Flores was right to be irate. And Brian Flores has done a great job in Miami. If you look at that roster and look at how bad they were at the start of the year, I mean, they're pretty much in every game every week. They're getting 3.5 here at the Westgate at the Giants. Very, very little action on this game. Like I mentioned earlier, a couple games will kind of get swept under the rug at 10 a.m., and I think this is one of them. There's really nobody looking to bet on this game right now.
I think I have to take the Dolphins.
I don't know how you can lay 3.5 points with the Giants, honestly.
They're so bad.
There's some reports I saw on Twitter today that Shermer's going to be fired. I assume that he will be. I don't know how you could possibly bet on the Giants. The game's a complete stay away for me, and so far most people at this book at least agree with that.
I missed the first half of the Monday night, actually the first three quarters. How did the Eagles not do anything against that Giants defense?
Well, all their playmakers are banged up. Wentz missed some throws. Their Eagles, the guys they had in there dropped a lot of throws too. You know, I know everybody's just rushing to blame everything on Wentz because that's like generic football analysis. It's like, why is this team losing? Because the quarterback sucks. Why is this team good? Because the quarterback is good. You got to dig a little bit deeper than that. I mean, his receivers aren't helping him at all. It's bad. Philadelphia. And they gave up a late touchdown pass right before halftime, like a long touchdown pass. Philadelphia was very lucky to escape that game, and that's why that number came down even more, that Philadelphia-Washington number, because Philadelphia looked awful.
So I'm looking at the Giants here in this 9-game skid. They were favored against the Jets, got blown out. Excuse me, they lost by touchdown. I apologize there. And they lost as 3.5-point favorites to Arizona. I think the Dolphins are the right side, but I guess it wouldn't shock me if the Giants play okay because the Dolphins are still the Dolphins. But, yeah, there's no way I could lay the 3.5. Next game is flexed to Sunday night. Steelers at home to the Bills. Should we just make the key numbers in football are 3, 4, and 7, but in, like, Steelers games, I think you have to include 2. I just think that's a key number in Steelers games. So it's -2 here. Key number. I think they should be 30 cents to buy off the 2. I really think the bookmaker should have to change that. It's a low total. That's what makes it more fascinating.
How good does the Steelers front office look right now, though? Seriously, I mean, they let Bell go. They let Brown go. That Minka Fitzpatrick trade, which I thought at the time was crazy, looks like it's worked out great for them. The Steelers are just one of the most well-run organizations in the NFL year after year. Tomlin's doing a great job. But don't forget about the Bills. You know, if Buffalo wins this game, they clinch a playoff berth. Sean McDermott's done a tremendous job in Buffalo. Everybody here is actually betting Buffalo, which is a little surprising. Right now we need the Steelers. I do think the public will come in on Pittsburgh when we get closer to game time here. Total of 36, so certainly expecting a low-scoring dogfight in this game. Both teams look to be getting into the postseason.
I work with a couple Bills fans, and they're nervous. They're nervous about the last few weeks about losing out and not getting in the playoffs.
It's definitely possible, especially with the way the Titans are coming on like crazy. Pittsburgh, I think, has won 7 of their last 8 games. So it's possible the Bills might find themselves without a seat at the table.
This game, I just can't pick. I think you have to take Pittsburgh, but it's not like their offense is good.
That's the funny thing, too. Duck Hodges is basically just as bad as Mason Rudolph.
No, he's not.
He basically Rudolph is stinks. If you watch the games. No, they both do. Duck Hodges can't really do anything. He just has an affable nickname. People like him, and people don't like Mason Rudolph. I would lean a little bit to Hodges, excuse me. But I really don't think – it's not like – did he do anything on Sunday against the Cardinals? Didn't they have a long punt return for a touchdown, and then the defense
– Well, yeah, the Cardinals really should have won the game, to be honest. But, I mean, that you can say that a lot of Steelers games. I will say this, and I'll just repeat what Tomlin said. He's not killing us. I mean, that's the thing.
That's true.
They want and a game manager when they're backup situation, yeah. And Rudolph is terrible, man. He's really not good. At all.
I'll give Hodges some credit. He really played well on third downs in that game against the Cardinals. And Rudolph, I don't disagree with your assessment of Rudolph. But I will say this, no matter who's playing quarterback for the Steelers, everybody's out for them. I mean, it sounds like they're going to get Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner back this week. But you're talking about evaluating a second or third string QB with like all of his weapons also out of the lineup. I mean, talk about having everything stacked against you.
It is impressive in that regard. It's fascinating
that
just the Pittsburgh
smoking
hearing.
Yeah, it's tough to blame Rudolph when you're – and again, I don't think anything of Rudolph as a player. I'm just saying it's hard to evaluate this guy. Like in that Cleveland game, I think Juju Smith-Schuster left early in the game. He didn't really have anybody to throw the ball to.
Yeah, we've talked enough about this game. But, I did have a question. You said that everyone here, meaning is that in the office or everyone so far has been betting Steelers?
Oh, no. Everybody at the Westgate that's betting at the Westgate is on Buffalo.
So why do you think that's going to change come weekend?
Well, we had the number up a little higher than the market. We were at 2.5 while most people were at 1.5, 2. That's why all the money here has been on the Bills. And usually the public doesn't bet until like Saturday or Sunday. I think the public will talk themselves into the Steelers at the end because the Steelers have been winning and the Bills are coming off of a loss.
Gotcha. Okay. The Raiders, final game in the black hole, assuming they don't make the playoffs. Laying this line, what was it, 4, 4.5? And the Jaguars have absolutely been a disaster. I don't know how you bet this game. I guess you can bet Oakland, of course, but the line just seems like it's a ridiculous tax. And at some point, the Jags are going to play a game we didn't see coming, right?
Yeah, we had this number at like 6, or it was at 4, you're right, and the early look-ahead markets. Jacksonville looked so bad. Jacksonville's looked bad for weeks. I can't even say they looked bad on Sunday. They looked bad for like a month. We had it at 6. We moved to 6.5. We had a guy bet 20,000 minus 6.5, and then he parlayed Raiders minus 6.5 to a few bowl games that are coming later down the line here. We went to Raiders minus 7 even money, and we had people betting minus 7 even money on the Raiders. Nobody is looking to bet on Jacksonville. Don't be surprised if this line goes up between now and Sunday, because people are just not looking to bet on the Jaguars. They're looking to bet on the Raiders because it's the last game at the Coliseum, and they think the Raiders are going to send their fans out with a big win here.
Even though the Raiders have lost three straight by at least three touchdowns?
Yeah, I know. The Raiders have run out of gas. I mean, you know, Derek Carr, I saw him throw the ball away on fourth down on Sunday. The Raiders are a mess, too. But I don't really want to be critical of the Raiders, because I still think with everything that was stacked against them this year, looking at their schedule, knowing they're moving to a new city, they've actually had a pretty good season.
Yeah, and their win total, they need one more win to get over the total. I actually skipped a game, and I didn't mean to at all. So we're going to backtrack a little bit here just because I think it's a team that's really worth mentioning, and it was the team that just beat the Raiders in a blowout, and it's Tennessee. And they're laying 3 here at home to Houston. I honestly think, and I'm not joking, if this continues, Ryan Tannehill should get MVP consideration.
Well, he's been unbelievable. I think they're 6-1 since he took over. And if you think back to what a mess their offense was when Mariota was in their quarterback, they're like a completely different team with Tannehill. It says a lot about Mariota. I think it says even more about Adam Gase, who had Tannehill in Miami for several seasons. He looks great. I mean, he looks like he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
I have been blown away. I mean, Titans were my season win total under, and of course it was headed there on an express train until Tannehill turned into Joe Montana. Look, in terms of the MVP, like the word most valuable, like we have evidence of what this team would look like without him, and it was not good. And if they win the division, now look, Lamar Jackson has done it from the start of the year, and Russell Wilson has done it from the start of the year. I'm just saying he should get like third or fourth place vote, things like that.
Well, Lamar Jackson is going to win the MVP. I think Russell Wilson will finish second. But I know what you're saying. He's been great, and he's turned around that whole team, that team's entire season. But I actually like Houston in that game, Houston plus the 3. That game that they lost on Sunday, that's exactly the kind of game they always blow. When everybody expects them to win, they were a big home favorite against Denver. That was our biggest win of the week in the NFL, by the way. But now this is really the kind of scenario where they've been great, though. This road dog scenario is where Houston has really excelled the last few years. And I think it's right now everyone's going to buy in on the Titans, and I think Houston's going to beat them.
So Houston, I tweeted this, was in the Hall of Fame of flat spots last week.
they really were.
Just a grotesque performance, and that is textbook. But I think people are dismissing this. Not dismissing, but I would not get in front of this Tennessee train. Let me just put it that way. The Texans seem to play up to their opponents and down to their opponents, and I think it's going to be a good game, but there's no way I would get in front of this Titans team. No way.
They're playing great right now. Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit, and they finally have an offense in Tennessee, and it's all thanks to Ryan Tannehill going in there for Mariota. It'll be very interesting to see what happens to Mariota this offseason, because I just don't understand why he's played so bad in Tennessee. Everybody blamed it on the offensive line. Everybody blamed it on the coaching staff. Everybody makes excuses for this guy. But then they bring in a backup quarterback, and he looks great. So how do you still make excuses for Mariota?
You don't. He's not an NFL quarterback.
I guess not. It certainly looks that way right
now.
Backup. Because everyone made all these excuses for him. I always hear all these excuses for him. And now I'm watching another guy go in there and run this team and look awesome.
Titans have gone over 7 straight, all overlapping with Tannehill inserting into the starting quarterback role, and this total is 50. So, got to ride that train, if you will. I mean, don't you?
I think it's the best game of the week, and it's not going to be the highest handle game at 10 a.m. That'll be the Bears-Packers game. But I do think this is the best matchup of the week in the NFL.
So we go back to the 4 p.m. games, and Cleveland is a road favorite, and I just think they should not be favored. This team is dysfunctional. Freddie Kitchen is in over his head, and just because Cleveland beat Cincinnati at home doesn't mean they're like all of a sudden like frisky and like competent. Like they're incompetent. Arizona, it's not the team I wish Cleveland were playing. I wish it was at Denver or something like that, but I still think they can't be laying points on the road here.
It's tough to bet Arizona right now, but I agree with you. Freddie Kitchens probably shouldn't be laying points on the road. And I think it'll be one of the most fascinating storylines in the offseason. Is Cleveland going to move on from Kitchens after 1 year? I think that they have to, because it's inexcusable for this roster, as good as it is, and they catch a huge break. The starting quarterback of one of their division rivals basically misses the whole season, and they're still not going to make the playoffs. So what would make you think they'll be able to get into the playoffs next year? Baltimore's going to be good again next year, and Pittsburgh's going to get Roethlisberger back and all these studs they have on defense. Cleveland needs to do something, or they're just going to miss the playoffs again. And it's got to start with a new coach.
I would think so. He just does not. It's a very undisciplined team, as we talked about the penalties earlier in the season. So let's just move on. This next game is kind of interesting, because at one of these points, the Niners are going to have a flat spot. At least one of these points, you would think, right? Amazing performance in New Orleans last week, given the big performance in Baltimore, though they lost, stayed on the road, and still just gutted that one out. Just so impressive. At some point, there's going to be a flat spot, maybe, we think, but they're laying double digits here to an Atlanta squad that's been okay, at least, down the stretch.
I thought it was going to be a tough spot for them on Sunday against New Orleans.
Me too.
And, you know, I've been critical of Jimmy Garoppolo this season, and he was awesome on Sunday. Kyle Shanahan's play calling on Sunday was brilliant. He was so far ahead of the Saints. Great, just really innovative play calling from Shanahan. It was very, very impressive. Very impressive win for San Francisco. Now, if there was going to be a flat spot, it would be this game right now. After those two road games in Baltimore and New Orleans, they go home to play the Falcons. They're just, you'd think they would just be happy to get out of there with the win. You know what I mean? Just to get out of there with a W and move on to the next week. They do have some key guys, like D Ford is questionable for this game with a hamstring injury. They've got some key linemen that are a little banged up after that tough road stretch. So I'd keep an eye on the injury report, but I agree with you. It's a really tough spot for the 49ers here. And this is a lot of points. Atlanta's at least been frisky since their bye week.
No, it's a stay away for me, but at some point I should just be pounding the Niners, because they've been a covering machine in a lot of ways. They've been so strong. Just, you know, I mean, what, they've covered three straight, and they're just rotating running backs, and they seem to dominate. Obviously, Kittle back is a huge factor. We saw that down the stretch with the Saints last weekend. So they're a damn good football team, and obviously, but the point spread is double digits. So not getting involved as of now. Marquee game. Rams still in the playoff picture, starting to look like the team we thought they would. Dallas, lose to the Bears. I mean, not the worst loss in the world. It was at Soldier Field, but it is kind of comical, everything that's going on in the NFC East.
Yeah, Jason Garrett's another coach that he's just in over his head. I mean, they basically just a yes man for Jerry Jones, but Dallas's roster is way too talented for them to be 6-7 in the worst division in the NFL. It's one thing to be 6-7 if you're in the NFC West. Like, for Arizona to be 6-7 when they got to deal with Seattle and San Francisco and the Rams, that wouldn't be that bad. Their schedule's brutal. How are the Cowboys 6-7 in the NFC East playing that schedule? This is a terrible year for the Cowboys. And I'll tell you right now, no one's looking to bet on them on Sunday. We got an 8-1 ticket count on the Rams. The Rams are now a 1.5-point favorite on the road here. And we're going to need Dallas huge. And that's a very unusual thing to be saying. We're talking about, what do they call these things, like America's Game of the Week on Fox. It's always the Cowboys. They always subject us to the Cowboys. And we almost are always rooting for the other team. But we'll need Dallas big in this game. Everybody's on the Rams.
Interesting. That's the team you were touching on earlier when you teased Ed.
Actually, it was Jacksonville, but Dallas also fits the bill. I mean, they both do. There's nobody looking to bet on Jacksonville this week, and there's really hardly anybody looking to bet on the Cowboys.
Okay, so 8-1 ticket count there. Very surprising given the popularity and its fan base. Minnesota at the Chargers. This feels like I have to take the Vikings, but it seems like such a trap.
Speaking of fan bases, I got to think the Vikings will be most of the stadium here in this game on the road against the Chargers. What did you think of that Phillip Rivers clip where he threw the long touchdown pass and then he started like screaming at the defensive end?
I did not
see
it.
That on Twitter?
I did not see
it. Oh,
it was
great, man. The defensive end helps him up and Rivers threw like an 80-yard touchdown pass and he's screaming, 80-yard touchdown pass! And the DN's like, hey, man, take it easy. And Rivers said he's not going to take it easy. He's going to always yell in his face whenever he throws a touchdown pass.
That's Jaguars football, baby.
It was hilarious, man. I agree with Rivers, just for the record. I mean, what, this guy can't celebrate when he throws a touchdown pass in an NFL game? I don't see a problem with it at all. Everybody's on the Vikings here. We'll need the Chargers pretty big. The Chargers are so dumb, though. They'll probably win their last three games here just to lower their draft pick. Now that the games don't mean anything, they'll probably close out the season strong.
Like they always do. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Monday night. This line's come down. It looks like New Orleans. I just thought, I was convinced New Orleans was going to get the one seed when I saw the Niners schedule. Then New Orleans loses to Atlanta. So that was when it kind of started, when I started, you know, envisioning how it was all going to unfold. And they're obviously still hanging around, but just something concerning about the Saints squad.
Yeah, pretty tough for them to blow that game there at the end on Sunday. Obviously very disappointing for them, but they're still going to win the division. They still look like they're probably going to get a first-round bye, and they're an 8.5-point favorite here on Monday night against the Colts. The Colts finally have run out of gas. You know, they did an admirable job this year considering their quarterback retired a week before the regular season started. So I would still give some credit to the Colts organization, but they've kind of run out of gas and fallen behind Houston and Tennessee in that division.
How about playing up to your opponent? I mentioned that earlier with the Texans. Frank Reich, 9-1 ATS in the regular season when facing a team with a winning record. So the good teams, they cover, right? All these one-score games The Colts have played this year. So might be too much to ask. I just don't like this Colts team. I like them, but I don't. I like what they're doing this season, but they're just not that good.
What this is going to be in this Colts-Saints game is tons of parlays and teasers from the weekend are going to close with the Saints. That will be the decision in that game. Because as of right now, there's really not much handle on the game.
Hmm. All right, my friend, you ready for it?
I guess. Speaking of running out of steam, me and his NFL plays.
I know. I was really making a move.
I'm only going to play one this week, but I'll reveal it on the Bonanza.
All right, let's get to it.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, 0-1-1 for you, sir. Patriots cost you. You pushed with the Colts +3. Some guy on Twitter was like, I don't want to jinx you, but you've been on a roll of late tweeting at me. And then, of course, he jinxed me because I had a Russell Wilson prop, which he may not have known because I added it at the close of the show. So sometimes I guess people tune out after Bonanza. But I did add it, so I was a net loser last week, -800 because it was a dime bet on Wilson. Terrible bet, but I just loved it, and I just didn't get there. That happened. So you did not.
It's so hard to stay out of the NFL, man. You know, like – Jay Cornegay has me make one pick for him each week for something he submits to one of the newspapers here, and I just kind of rotate how I do it. And I just every week, whichever one I choose loses. It's just absolutely bizarre. Even if there's four plays I like and I go 3-1, the one loser was the one I gave Cornegay for his thing in the newspaper. And I gave him Patriots this week. So, or last week, I should say. So, I'm sure whatever I give him on Friday will lose on Sunday, as always. But there's really only one game that I'm recommending this week. But don't listen to my recommendations, because I've run out of gas on the NFL.
I was surprised how many, like, sharps and how much money was on the Pats last week. Not that, I mean, I think they should have actually covered. I'm just saying, like, I was surprised.
Everybody was on the Patriots. You know, it's funny, on the Chiefs. Everybody was on the Chiefs. We got kind of lucky in that game. We were stuck pretty big to the Chiefs, and I talked to some of my colleagues out here that said they lost a lot on that game, but we had a guy right at kickoff. I mean, as they were lining up for kickoff, this guy came up and asked for $80,000 on the Patriots.
Wow.
And we gave it to him. And we still, you know, I'm still not saying it was a great result for us, but getting that $80K there right at the gun really saved us from what could have been a pretty big loser.
So I lost more last week than you did.
that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. What is your play, Mr. Director? You're on the T-Box. You get the honors this time.
Yeah, I only got one, and I'm gonna take advantage of our rule here. We can use any Las Vegas sports book because my friends at the South Point, Jimmy Vaccaro and the team, they've got Houston +3/-110. So I'll take the Texans at +3/-110 for a dime. Most of the books around the city have, like us at the Westgate, we've got -120. It's mostly Tennessee -3 even on the market, but
right.
The South Point has 3 flat, so I will take it there per our rules, and that's it. And I'm going to step aside here. I'm going to get back. I'm going to climb back into the golf cart, and I'm going to let you go.
And we're going through the postseason, right?
Yeah, I think what we did last year was we went right up through the Super Bowl, so I don't see why we wouldn't do that again this year.
Okay. So I'm going to do a dime on the team total for the Bengals, under 15.5, -106.
Who has that?
I'm looking at FanDuel.
I thought we were doing Nevada books.
Do any books have it? Do you guys have it?
No, I mean, we let's see. If it's 9.5 and 41.5, so we would make them 25.5 and 16. But you should play. Let's call it. We would make it 16 in all likelihood.
Okay.
Because we've got New England -9.5 and 41.5, so that would work out to 25.5 for New England, 16 for the Bengals. So why don't we give you? Because we put them up on the day of the game.
Right.
But why don't we put up? Why don't we say it's 16 here, and we'll give you the under there.
That's fine. I mean, I'm happy to just say that's going to be my play, and let's just wait till they're posted in town on Sunday because I just like to give at least a play. On the
I understand. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but like I can't guarantee that's what we'll post on Sunday because I don't know what the side and the total are going to be on Sunday. I'm saying that that's what we would make it if we made the team total right now.
So you'll give me 16 instead of using the FanDuel 15.5?
I'll give you 16. I'll give you 16.
All right. Okay. All right. That works for me. -110, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, my friend. Good stuff. I've got to close the gap. I got to set up a middle one of these days just to get back into this thing. So,
yeah,
tonight's not the night. Let's just put it. Not exactly key numbers tonight in play.
You know, I was up at the South Point. I did a spot with Mitch and Pauly this morning, and after I got off the set, I saw Gil Alexander because he was going on set to do his show, a numbers game. I said something to Gil like, "Oh, it's almost over," and he said, "Not really." You know, if you count the Super Bowl, we still have like 7 more weeks. So there's still a long way to go here down the stretch in the NFL.
That is true. A little break in college this week, though, although we do have Army-Navy this weekend. All right, my friend, have a good one as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks for having me on, man.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Nerd alert!
Mike Clay now in studio. How are you, good sir?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Excited for this. So I just want to remind our listeners, we do picks along with other people on every Thursday, or excuse me, Friday morning. It gets posted to ESPN.com's chalk section. The collective unit has at least one play on every single game. And Mike, you've been doing a lot of props there. 5-2 last week. So not the same percentage for the pod, and I'm hurt.
I know,
but that's okay. That happens.
I feel bad. So what happened was I did 2 because I had to kill Monday night's Daniel Jones was ruled out. So I had to kill those. I ended up doing 2 on the show. They went 0-2. And then I went on and wrote more for the doc, and they went 5-0. So go figure. But hey, we've been crushing it for a while now.
They're out there. You've got to go find them.
Yeah.
We have been crushing. And you like this time of year because you said you had more data and all that stuff. So let's rip through these as we got to get some winners to the public ahead of the holiday shopping.
Yeah, let's bounce back this week. We'll start with Thursday, with the Thursday game. Sam Darnold over 20.5 completions is what I have here at -$1.10. I'm worried about it being a total just disaster for the Jets playing on the road in Baltimore, so that makes me a little nervous. But game script should lead to passing, so let's get into it here. He's averaging 21.6 completions per game this season. He's been below 19 only once, so he's been at least in this vicinity most of the time. He usually hits it. The Jets, actually, since he came back from mono, they're calling a balanced game. They were very run-heavy early in the season. They're more of a balanced offense now. And game script, again, we should expect them to throw a lot in this game as they are 14.5-point underdogs. They're averaging 34 dropbacks per game in wins, 39 in losses. Obviously, that makes perfect sense. Baltimore opponents have called past 66% of the time. That's fourth highest in the NFL. Of course, it makes sense. They're up often. Opponents have to throw the ball against them. They're only allowing a 60% completion percentage, which makes me a little bit nervous. You had second lowest in the league, but they're still, despite that number, they're still allowing 20.7 completions per game, which is over this line that's set for Darnold. Why? Again, teams have to throw the ball a lot against him. Even if the efficiency is not good, the volume is pretty good. Five quarterbacks have reached 21 completions against them and two others in striking distance with 20. So I'm at 24.9 in this one. So I'm pretty well over the line.
All right, good stuff. Next pick?
Next one, I'm going to go to Sunday Night Football. I have a couple here. John Brown, over 56.5 receiving yards at minus $1.10. He's reached 57 yards in 8 of 13 games this season. The number is a little lower because he's fallen short of 40 yards in his past three games, but he was dealing with Denver, Dallas, and Baltimore. We knew that going in. I think we may have talked about it on the show about a month ago. They had a really tough upcoming schedule. The Steelers' defense is also pretty good. They've been better as of late, but not nearly as dominant. They're right around 10th in terms of yards and receptions allowed. They're not as dominant as some of Denver, Dallas, and Baltimore have been against receivers so far this season. And if you look on a game-by-game basis, in fact, I have it right here, 14 wide receivers have reached 57 yards against them this season. That includes at least one in 8 consecutive games. He is their number one receiver. We know that for Buffalo. He's handling a 25% target share. That's 7.8 per game. Usually when he gets to that range, he gets, you know, in the 7 to 10 target range. Sometimes he'll go 12 or 13 targets. He hits this mark. So I'm at 62.5. It's a 6-yard difference. It's minus $1.10. It works out pretty closely, but I feel a lot more comfortable with the over than the under.
No, I would not take that.
Yeah.
I don't trust Allen. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. 36 is the total, 36.5. So I'm not as big of a fan as that one.
Okay. No, I get that. It is a close call, but I do think 56.5 is too low for a guy handling.
What about his drops? I mean, that's just nature of the beast.
I don't know. There's really no measure I found that suggests that, and not just me, people way smarter than me, the drops are predictable going forward. Okay. Like, that's just something that pops up and you could deal with receivers as long as they're making plays. And it's something that tends to be very inconsistent going forward, very volatile. The other one in this game is, and now again, this one might come off the board. So if you can jump on it now, I would. But it's Benny Snell under 55.5 rushing yards, which I was shocked to even see this one on the board because James Conner's expected back.
Interesting.
This week. And if he is back, he's going to be the lead back for all intents and purposes. I see no reason why Benny Snell would be ahead of him. He was behind him all season. He hasn't been spectacular at all since Conner's been out. Honestly, if Conner plays, my projection for Benny Snell would be somewhere in the range of 4 carries for 20 yards, right? I mean, he's just not going to get much volume here with these other guys involved. They're using Kareth White as well, even when Conner was out. So a lot of mouths to feed here. Even if you're more optimistic than me on that role, you know, 4 carries, 17 yards is my exact projection. 56 is a long shot with Conner in there, who's averaging just under 14 carries a game in his 7 full games this season. That said, if you bet it now and Conner is shockingly ruled out, which again, that is not supposed to be the case. All indications are he will play. Then it might not look as good. The Bills have allowed 12 backs to reach 57 yards. So, again, I'm just kind of banking on him not playing. And this one seems like a massive gap if Conner is back.
Okay, yeah. And that the thing is, usually the fine print on those props is if they play, no actions, they do not play.
Right.
But it's hard to qualify starting. So that's why. Sometimes it's NBA props. It's like they have to start, things like that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, that would be good if they're out there. A lot of places haven't posted props yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen a qualifier for anything like that, so that's why I figured I had to mention it. But it's one of them that if you can get it right now, you jump on it.
Anything Monday night?
I do. I have Jacoby Brissett here in this game against the Saints. Over 1.5 passing touchdowns at minus $1.10. He's thrown at least 2 touchdowns in 7 of his 13 games this season. That we know the Colts operate a run-first offense, but they've scored 2/3 of their touchdowns through the air. That's 11th highest in the NFL. They do like to throw it closer to the goal line. The Saints, meanwhile, have allowed 2 or more passing touchdowns in 9 of their 13 games this season, including 5 straight. And we saw that on display last week, of course, with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing 5 touchdowns on the road in the Superdome. Opponents throwing the ball 68% of the time against him. That's 2nd highest in the NFL. Because, you know, it's much like what we talked about earlier with Baltimore. The Saints lead a lot. Teams have to throw against them. Teams have also scored 73% of their touchdowns through the air. That is 8th highest in the NFL. And probably the one that maybe pushes this over the top if you're close is two of the 4 starting defensive linemen for the Saints are out for the season. Sheldon Rankins and Marcus Davenport have played, you know, they're very good at their job. You know, Davenport's developing into one of the better edge rushers in the league. And Rankins, we know, has been a mainstay at defensive tackle for them for a long time. They're both on IR. That's a huge loss for this defense. They're trending the wrong way. Again, they've already been giving up a ton of passing touchdowns. I think Brissett hitting two here is a decent bet.
I think, and they're going to be trailing most of the game. Exactly. I mean, that, I think that's a strong play there. But then again, I loved your Russell Wilson play last weekend.
Oof,
I took it on
shocker.
The chin. Well, that was a bad spot. You know, they talk about situational handicapping in the NFL. Obviously, a giant flat spot, but that was also sort of kind of was thinking like playing from behind. And, you know, it was a really bad performance. So
no doubt. And you're going to have that once in a while. We're okay with that once in a while. We'll hit that most of the time.
Right. All right, my man. Always good stuff. And looking forward to getting you back. This is our final Thursday game, right? Final Thursday of the season?
Is it? Yeah. Is it really?
Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure it is.
I don't know. We have some Saturdays coming up, too.
And then we go to Saturdays right after that. So, all right, bud.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Nobody has ever bet enough on a winning horse.
Talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy. Usually people just brush it off or blame themselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Doug and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/Doug to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Doug for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Doug.
Pay that man his money.
Hopefully we will be collecting and someone will have to pay us after all those picks from both Mike Clay and then the baby bankroll bonanza. A lot of fun. I want to close that gap, Travis. I was making good progress getting to within striking distance of Mr. Director.
And then Russell Wilson screwed you.
I know. It was a little impulse buy there, a little impulse bet in the close last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did it right the last second. We were both kind of hyping him up, and you know, I feel partly to blame, but you made the pick, so it's on you.
Yeah, it is on me. Ultimately, that's the case, but it kind of reminds me of an old axiom that I used to say, don't think about your bet while you're waiting in line at the counter. Like, you should already know what it is, and then you walk. Don't wait in line trying to him and hon.
It's kind of like when you're taking a test, and you start, just go with what you had.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But next week's another card, so we'll get to all that. And so thanks to Mike, thanks to John, thanks to you, Travis, and we'll see you back here next week for two podcasts. We'll be back in incorporating the college podcast as well.